Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Week in the Arts on the Blog Talk Radio and Affiliate Networks is brought to you by the Illustrator Journal. Check us out on the web via www.illustratorsjournal.com and follow on Twitter via @TIJournal. Welcome everyone, I'm Greg Masters, the producer and moderator of This Week in the Arts, and known to some on Twitter as 2 Health Guru. I'm a co-founder and co-editor at the Illustrator's Journal. And in the virtual studio is my colleague, co-founder at Illustrator's Journal, and principal co-host of This Week in the Arts, Mr. Lon Levin. Do follow Lon on Twitter via @CreativeHouse, and that's @CREATIVEHOUSE. Lon has served as creative director for Sony, Warner Brothers, Fox, and Saban Entertainment, a winner of 41 major awards for logos, illustrations, design, and advertising, including Promax Gold, American Graphic Design, and the Los Angeles Society of Illustrators. An Art Center alum, he wrote and directed The Barefoot Buccaneer, published in 2012, and has illustrated 33 educational and children's books, including There's a Boy Under My Bed and Tree Houses. And now for today's special guest, Lori Hammond. Lori describes herself as an artist, educator, speaker, events coordinator, manager, and director who's worked in the feature animation industry, Disney Feature Animation Studios to be specific, TV, and the video game industry. As a 2D and 3D artist, Lori's work is shown both nationally and internationally, and she's taught classes in both 2D and 3D animation. And with that brief introduction, Lon, over to you. Help us get to know Lori.
Thanks, Greg. I just wanted to stop for a moment to let people know how much I appreciate the work that you do, because without you, you are the heart and soul of this endeavor, which is our website, illustratorsjournal.com. And the podcast and the publication, the Illustrator's Journal, which we're featuring Lori as one of the artists. And so I wanted to thank you for all you do. And everybody go to the website, www.illustratorsjournal.com, or take a look out for the Illustrator's Journal Winter Edition 2018, which has come out now. And so with that, I'll just say hi, Lori. How are you doing?
Hi, Lon. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. And I also want to thank you for inviting me to talk tonight, as well as thank you, Greg, as well.
Okay. Greg never talks.
Oh.
Silent.
My job is over.
Oh, okay.
That's right. He's got some wine. He's hanging back. And that's his thing. Anyway, and Lori, who I've talked to several times over the last couple of days, is a delight, really. And your work is so unique to me, particularly these little black and white drawings that we have when somebody gets the journal itself and takes a look at your interview, they will see these wonderful little, almost jewel-like black and white drawings. So those are really wonderful. So I wanted to kind of mirror what we have in the journal itself and ask you some questions, and you can go off script, so to speak, and go any which way you want. But okay. I want you to first, you know, just tell us and the audience a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, let's see. I started drawing, painting, like most kids, I guess. And I became interested in it in college, and I took a few classes in painting, and I really loved it. And I then decided to take a Photoshop class, and I took a Photoshop class, and I realized at that time that you can do so much with one painting, manipulate it digitally and come up with, you know, 100,000 new images. So it really excited me, And I decided that I wanted to learn like the very cutting edge of digital art at that time. And it was just happening. 3D animation was just starting up. I think Maya pretty new and recent. And so that's what I decided to go and get my master's in. And so
When was that? I'm sorry to break in here. That's my rudeness. But when are we talking about? What year do you know approximately?
Oh my goodness, you're gonna age me.
I don't want to date you or anything. Lori's
no, I'm
15
kidding.
Years
I'm
old,
kidding.
Everybody. So you don't need to worry. She's just brilliant.
I was actually starting at Pratt Institute around the time of 9/11. Honestly, I started college that year, and in fact, I was there during that time. So you know, that was a big influence. Yeah, that was a big influence on my art at that time. Because I was a weekend at college, I was just a youngster, and you know, it opened my eyes to, you know, some crazy stuff. Really influenced a lot of my 3D work at that time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that must have been quite an event and thing to go through while you're in school, right? You were in school at Pratt, right?
Yeah, I was at school in Pratt Institute, and I did it's interesting because I did a drawing, a series of three drawings that got me into Pratt at the time, and they were drawings were of a cityscape that was falling apart, and there were planes actually crashing into the various buildings, and my chair at the time saw it and said, wow, I would love to see this in 3D, and she really thought the drawings were very interesting, and that was kind of a premonition, in a sense. Artists kind of sometimes have those, I guess. And
so you did these before the planes actually went in the building, or
inspired by? I did those before. That was before I moved to New York, and I did those, and that's what I chose to get into school. And it was
oh my god! I hope you didn't have the FBI or CIA on you after doing stuff like that. That can be dangerous.
Yeah. But I did end up doing a 3D animation called Looking Back in a Cityscape, and that was my thesis fan. And that was based upon that time period and what what I was living through. And what everyone
very
was
interesting.
Through. Yeah.
So let me ask you, let me jump in here, and again, awkward segue, sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
But in your interview, you gave me this morning because it changed, right? And it says you're a designer for the upcoming loungewear lingerie line called Teleblue.
No. That was old.
Is that old?
6 years ago. See? Yeah, that didn't work out.
I'm reading off the wrong thing. I apologize, Lori. And I apologize to our audience.
That's okay. I actually am starting, or I do put my designs on clothing, and my shop is called, it's at Vita, and you can just check the Vita website.
Right.
Yeah, and Pam is Lori, so it's my last name, first name. And I have a bunch of my designs on, you know, pillows and clothing and tapestries and all sorts of stuff there. So
where can people go to get your designs and whatever else you have for sale? There, is there a website they can go to?
Well, there's a store. It's called Vida, V-I-D-A. You just Google Vida. Then there's a bunch of artists that sell, you know, their work on products. And so if you just type in my name, you know, my store pops up. But you can also contact me directly or through Instagram. You can see my work on Instagram. You can look under, my tag name is L-O. So Low Hammond 00, so that you can look up Lori Hammond.
Okay.
See my designs and
I get it. Okay. All right. So when did you first notice that you were interested in art? The family? Did your parents, your mother, father, siblings?
Well, my family was really into music and had a brothers and uncles, and my father were all very musically talented. Pick up pretty much any instrument and play. But I was the visual one, I guess. Yeah.
Now, did you try music, or was it just not a good thing at all?
Yeah, I didn't try music. I think it was, I remember just being a little, I don't remember what grade it was, fifth grade or something like that. And there was an assignment to paint a autumn scene. And I painted it in watercolor. And I remember the teacher stuck it up on the wall, and I would look at it every single day. It kind of popped out at me, and it kept calling to me. And so that just inspired me, and I started drawing from magazines and whatever. I would copy, magazine pictures, and I would just draw them out and started creating my own characters and painting.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. And how did you feel growing up like that as an artistic? Did you feel out of place? Did people look at you strangely?
Yes. Well, I do stand out. I have red hair.
This is a common thing. That's why I'm asking you. You know, everybody who's creative at one point feels strange, and people look at them and go, "Why are you doing that?" You know, kind of thing.
Well, I had a family full of big brothers. They were all older than me. I had five brothers, and I was the little redhead, so I was the only redhead in the family. I was the youngest. And so, I did stand out, and I felt, I spent a lot of my time, childhood, in the woods. We always lived around wooded areas, and I would, go hiking almost every day by myself and draw pictures in the woods or just spend time out by myself. So yeah, I think I was a little bit of a loner when I was little.
Well, now are these woods aren't Los Angeles. These were somewhere else, right?
No, in Illinois.
In Illinois, yeah, because we don't have woods here. We have palm trees and shrubbery.
Yeah, we have long winding roads and lots of wilderness and lots of cornfields too, so...
Cornfields, yeah. We don't have this, but there used to be lima bean fields here where Beverly Hills was, so it's changed a lot. I read in your interview, it says your grandmother adopted you when your father passed away, and you were only seven?
Yeah.
Pretty interesting thing to go through. Maybe difficult.
Yeah.
How did that go for you?
It didn't. I think it helped me become who I am. I definitely became very independent at a young age and kind of adventurous, and I think that led me to move across the country and on my own and end up here in LA. So
did you just decide you were in Illinois at what age? Was this after high school, during college, that you decided, I'm just going to go to Los Angeles and that's it? Is that how that worked?
I went to New York first, remember?
Okay.
So I went to New York and I got my my master's degree there. And then after that, I went to LA.
So you were in college for how long? 6 years, 8 years?
Oh, geez, I don't even remember. I went and got an associate's first. I was going to go into journalism. And then something, because I write a lot. I write short stories. I write poetry. And it was something that I really enjoyed doing. But I didn't I felt kind of restricted. And I wanted to, kind of my visual aspects of myself more. So I then got my associates. I started in journalism, and then I changed and I went into fine arts. And then after my associates, I went and got my bachelor's up near Chicago in Northern Illinois University. And from there, then I moved and went and got my master's at Pratt Institute. And after that, I moved to LA.
One of the reasons I asked you is because when I was going to school, it seemed like I would never get out, and I ended up doing what would be called a master's at Art Center after doing 4 years at UCLA, actually 5 years because they dropped out at some point. So 5 years at UCLA, 3 years at Art Center, so 8 years to become an out-of-work artist. So so it sounds like you spent a lot of time doing that type of stuff too. Mm-hmm. Did that? Now, I know for me what that did was, years later when I was working at a job where so much pressure was applied to me in the entertainment business, I was prepared. I could do everything because I had so much education.
Exactly.
As opposed to some of these guys who maybe they went 2 years to art school and dropped out, and they were very talented, but they didn't have a lot of foundational information and abilities, and so they just couldn't handle the pressure. So did you feel that when you went to Disney, was it like that for you?
Well, Disney was interesting. I loved working at Disney, by the way, but I think I was working as a temp, like a temporary position, and I was talking a lot with one of the main secretaries there at the time. She mentioned that there was a position open at Disney and to apply. And so I applied, and basically they called me back within 10 minutes. I got super lucky. I worked
10 minutes. Wow.
I know. They went through the system, and right away I got a call within a day. It was that quick. And I was working for a great department called the Disney Academy. And I worked for Penny Conan, who was my boss there, and Lovely Lady, and Walt Zurich, and, you know, a great family, Arno Kronos, tons of great people that I loved working with. And that was a great time. I helped work on Princess and the Frog and Old and Legacy Dork. I worked with, you know, within the academy, we held classes. I would help on shots, go to people's offices, help them with the shot if they had a problem. So that was a really exciting time. I think that helped kind of give me a sense of, you know, what animation was, production pipeline from start to finish. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. I know, because I started right out of school at Hanna-Barbera when it was still around, which really dates me. But it was in the end days of Hanna-Barbera, and that's a tough process to go through.
Yeah.
And it's different now. I was doing 2D stuff. You're doing 3D, but it's very regimented, and I guess it's very competitive and specialized. Am I right in saying that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I was doing 2D and 3D, so I worked on Princess and the Frog, so that was 2D. That was Harmony we used on that. And, it is very demanding. It has a lot of great rewards. But production life is exciting, demanding. Like I said, it has a lot of great rewards. I don't miss it, but, I wouldn't mind, I think, revisiting it, right now I work in education, which is a thing as well, but.
So do you have any plans on doing your 3D art, and to jumping over to your 3D art, which we have quite a bit of in the article with you in the journal? Are you planning to do any films with the worlds that you've created? Because this stuff is just fascinating. It's hard to describe if you're not looking at it, but it's very sculptural, and there's one that looks like some kind of wacky DNA and plasma and all kinds of incredible things that you've designed here, which if these things actually existed, they're almost like jewels. I could see this in Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive for lots of money.
Well,
so,
thank you.
You created those worlds. Do you plan to do any kind of film with it?
I've done a lot of short stuff, a lot of experimental stuff that's been in galleries. I've done a lot of short films with a combination of my 3D artwork, my 2D stuff that I do, and video and photography. And I kind of combine it all into like short films. And I've been showing those in galleries and projecting them on festivals on like outdoor buildings outside. And so I do a lot of stuff, and I definitely do want to get back more into 3D, but I'm definitely an artist, so it doesn't matter what tool. It could be a paintbrush, it could be to be with a photograph, anything is going to make me want to like manipulate it and play with it and create something.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Again, I'm interrupting. I apologize. But I wanted to ask you about this because I the part I relate to about what you do is you do a lot of different kinds of things, which I do as well. And I've been criticized for that before from different reps, mainly telling me, well, you have no style. There's no consistency. People are afraid to use you because they don't know what you're going to do. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. I'm not like insane. But I don't know what it is and why it is that I choose to do that. And I think part of it comes from wanting to master things. And have different ideas or try different things, and you seem to be doing the same thing. And I'm looking right now at your piece of artwork that you did with Jericho. Manzares, is that it? Yeah, the
I know, I
the ever-changing being. That, you know, is that a collage that is
it is
digital, or is it a physical?
It's everything. It's a photograph of a 3D sculpture, the electrical ball sockets that you see on there. It's a collage of 3D digital stuff. I printed it out and stuck on there. I painted it. We did illustrative work on it. We stuck feathers and all sorts of crazy stuff on it.
How big a piece is this? How big a piece is it?
Oh, geez. I don't have the measurements, but it's a nice size wall piece. It's 24 by 40 something, maybe. Something
oh,
like that.
Okay. So it's sizable. Because this looks to me like some kind of psychedelic, wild acid trip.
It's funny. I love color. I love working with line. I love texture. I love finding a balance and kind of creating worlds, like you said. I like moving in and out of places, so I do create ladders and doorways and vines that'll take you places. And I like to move your eye around the painting. And I do have large paintings that are wall size, that are like, you know, from floor to ceiling, drawn out illustrative paintings. And so I have a mix of a lot of different stuff, but a lot of it is just searching and it says creating this world. Yeah.
Now, do you? Here's a maybe sounds a strange question for you, but for me it is true. Do you have dreams like this, where you're in colorful worlds, walking through different types of perspectives with creatures and black and white? Because I do. I that's how I get a lot of ideas, and I'm wondering if you experience that as well.
You know, I honestly don't remember my dreams. So
really,
it's the weirdest thing. I rarely remember my dreams. So maybe these are my dreams that I'm having coming out of them. I don't know.
It looks like that. It looks like subconscious artwork that's coming to the surface, and you're putting form to it. And this one piece, which is so incredible because it's got so many different things going on, and you could just, you know, dive into it and make up your own story. Mm-hmm. So that's really incredible. And I want to ask you also about this piece. It's in the journal, in the winter issue of the Illustrator's Journal, on the page where you're in the background, and you can see that you have red hair, although it looks kind of auburn. There's a picture of these plugs that are in balls or something, and is that a 3D thing? Is that a physical sculpture?
That's a physical sculpture that I did. It was an incredible piece. Yeah.
Did the outlets actually work? Did they work?
They did not, unfortunately. I'm not electrician. I could, and that would have been very awesome. They did show in a gallery, so if I had them working at the time, which is what people wanted them to do, would have been pretty cool.
Well, I mean, I'm suggesting anybody who's listening and will listen to this, go pick up the journal, look up Lori's interview, because this is an incredible piece. I would love to have this in my house. This is so incredible. You know,
it's funny when you said earlier when you said about how you could see some of them actually like alive or like. I often thought about, because I have pieces that I thought would be really cool as animatronic sculptures. You know, that would kind of move around and like open up or close up. So I definitely thought along that line as well. It's fun.
Yeah, I think that your stuff would really lend itself to that in a gallery setting where people could come and experience these things undulating and moving in a very kind of anthropomorphic way. That would be great. Great stuff. And there's also another piece that you have here, which is this kind of Escher-like staircase to nowhere.
Yeah.
What can you explain what that one is all about?
Well, that was part of the Looking Back in a Cityscape, that animation I told you about in New York. It was actually a 3D short film that I did, and it was about traveling through the cityscape as you're reflecting on your life. And so there were no people, but you were moving up and down the architecture, and you were moving in through spaces and out through. So it's kind of like my painting when it comes to life, like how I said, moving in and out of windows and up and down architecture. And in one case, you're going down the stairwell, and one of the stairs pops up, and it looks like a box, but you put a picture on it, it looks like a theater. And so you go inside that box, and then you end up in the theater. And there's a bed on the stage, and as you move up towards the bed, there's a hole in the ground right by the bed, and you go down that hole. And so it takes you and moves you through different passageways. And I just thought about that as a reflection of your life, you know, like, think back about all the places you've lived and the places you've been and how important space is, you know. And I thought that was kind of something that I wanted to delve into at that time.
So you've done all these different type of artwork and film. Where do you see yourself going with this in the next 5-10 years? Where do you see yourself?
Well, currently, I do want to shout out, I do work as the program chair, the director for the Art Institute of California in Hollywood, mm-hmm. North Hollywood. And I run, you know, the media programs there. And I do enjoy that that job. It's an amazing experience working with all of the students and their work and really helping them get into the industry and so they can have some of the same experiences that I've had. But where do I see myself in 5 years? Well, I know I still will be doing art and definitely working in that direction to, I hope at some point, open up my own company, maybe you know, delve more into fashion, maybe video production, maybe, you know, my own shorts, my own films. I don't know. I'm definitely continuing the creative leap, I guess, into my future.
Well, I would hope so, because it seems like you've already created a great body of work, and to explore it further would be probably really amazing, and especially with the type of technology that will be in 5 years. Who knows what? I'm sure it'll be incredible. And that's another question I wanted to ask you, and I don't know what our time frame is here now, but do you prefer working by hand, the old style, old school, or digitally?
You know, I love it all. I do.
You love it all.
I love it all. I don't think I can prefer one or the other. Sometimes I get where I'm too saturated in one, and I need to go back to the other. But any medium, and I think I want to learn more. I want to go into VR. I want to do, you know, more stuff than I'm currently doing. Like I said, I'd love to go into doing some short films or, you know, a feature even at some point. But I have no boundaries. I love it all. I'm creative.
Oh, that's great. That is absolutely great. Yeah. Well, that's you know, that's the kind of spirit, you know, that, that I feel. And, you know, you never know where it's going to take you. And it always seems like there's, you go to a certain point, you plateau, you reevaluate, and you move into another direction or an enhanced direction. So I imagine that that kind of would play out that way for you as well. Any advice that you would give to somebody starting out like you, who's, you know, young and talented, and like as if somebody was one of your students, what would you tell them about being an artist and how they should think about it?
You know, I would say it's in your heart and find that passion. It's really all about your own inner passion. If you have that, you will succeed. You will push yourself. You will love it. And you will find your own style eventually. I would say experiment with everything. Don't be afraid to play. Don't be afraid to break the rules. You know, as far as software. and just, you know, have fun. And and don't take it too seriously, but take it serious enough. I think networking, reaching out, getting feedback, being friendly, and socializing, all of those things, you know, really work to help you get your work out there. You need to hear what people are thinking. You need to ask them what they're thinking. And you need to produce something that is coming from your heart.
And that'll have to be the last word for today's broadcast. I want to thank our guest, Lori Hammond, for sharing her story and her passion. We're featuring Lori's work in the winter edition of the Illustrator's Journal online digital magazine. Check it out by www.illustratorsjournal.com. And finally, do subscribe to us while you're there and follow us on Twitter via @TIJournal. Until we meet again on This Week in the Arts for Lon Levin, this is your moderator, Greg Masters, saying bye now.